Okay, Rabbi, let's make a little haskal over here. Basically, I'm not telling you big chedushim tonight, but I think it's the dvarim which require chizuk, you know, to inspire, to chazik ourselves, myself included, all of us. Some there's one nekuda which I think is very, very important to stress over and over and over again. The big yesod. I put together a couple of marmakomos that the Rashiv used to talk about, and maybe a couple anecdotes, stories, you know, a couple different things over here. Like I say, it's just a matter of the machazik each other. I think basically there's one major issue which probably everybody in the yeshiva confronts and has to deal with, and it can cause a major difference between success and failure in one's career, if you can call it that, in the yeshiva. Okay, that is as follows. People go ahead. The natural tendency is to go ahead and always look at yourself. How am I doing compared to him? And compared to him? And compared to him? You know, my friends, my chavruses, my shir mates, my classmates, my yeshiva mates, that's what's called, right? You know, all the different guys in the yeshiva. Well, he's better than me. He's worse than me. At least your head can be a little, you know. You always tend to, the natural thing is that people always measure themselves compared to someone else. You know, that's their way of defining success, okay? Now, that can cause and can lead to major, major, major serious problems. You know, a guy sees the guy next to him, his chavrusa, or his neighbor in shir. He's the one that asks all the kashas in shir. He comes out giving the good terutzim, or he comes out knowing the shir better than anybody else, and you know, and I thought I was better than he was, and I don't know, I'm not producing like he is, and I'm embarrassed to open my mouth because he's going to be, I might say something wrong, all the above. That's the problem. And sometimes it leads to just frustration. It could lead to depression. It could lead to just lack of motivation. It could lead to a lot of different things. So it's crucial on both sides that we somehow deal with this issue, which I think is very normal. If I think about him, I must be crazy and I'm terrible and I'm no good and I'm weird and no one else has this problem. No, it's a problem everybody has on different levels. Everybody probably in this room, in the Queens, wherever you are, as chashuv as you are, as great as you are, it's always a problem. And I found, can't put together a couple of different chazal and by Musar stuff, which I think addresses this issue very clearly. Let's start with the Evan Yisrael. There's an Evan Yisrael. In case you're not sure who he is, right? That's written by Reb Yisrael Salanter. Some that's not Yisrael, different Sfarim, set by itself or separate. Anyway, so he brings, I'm not going to go through the whole thing over here. I copy it for myself. Someone wants to copy later, I'll give it to him, but I'll read you a couple of the lines over here. He basically, in short, he talks about, there's, I think, a Mishnah. I'm not sure where it is exactly. I forgot. I have the whole piece over here. The Mishnah talks about after you pull the Shvuyim, and even sometimes even Yosef they the mayhem. The Tos has a kasha, why is that true? Am I only could they demand? Whatever, that's the background. And, I'm sorry, so one Teresh in Tosa says, the mufug b'chach mahaya. That case, the reason why the Mishnah says that you told even Yosher b'chay demand more than it's normally worth is because that and I think it was a young child, I think, it was a mufug b'chach mahaya. He was a genius, a special smart guy. Okay, that's Tosas, okay? Vector Rabbi Yisrael, listen to this. Kasha, yes. Somebody, I'll just read it to you inside and I'll talk about it. But Yesh Lahavin, Ma Maila Yesh Mufa Bachachma. What's those terrors? Who cares if he's a smart guy? Who cares? The Isa Batanvar Velyo. There's a Gemara, there's a Bryce, whatever you call it, Tanvar Yo. A few Eved, a few Isha, a few Shivcha. Hakolfi Maisa, Shahoy, a few Hakolfi Hamaisa, Shehi Osa, Kach Ruhakodesh Shorolov. It's all Tali, what you're doing, right? Harei Lehedya says, Rabbi Yisrael, the old Tali called the Torah. We don't care how much Torah the guy has. Rak b'maisa. So why does the Mishnah say that if you go ahead and have if you're a bright guy, therefore he deserves to be poted with much more money than Yosef Mathei Demeya, more than he's worth, more than the average Evid is worth $500,000. This guy says, Tosa, you poted with more, $1 million, because he's a genius. He's such a bright Talmud Chacham. Who cares? What's the point? Who cares? Not relevant. He says he's just like any other guy in the street. And he goes on to explain. He gets a teretz. He goes on to explain. Acho Inyan. And he brings a medrash. I'm not going to read the whole thing. He says, if someone is learning, right? Someone's learning, and he can go ahead and he can ask shailas. He doesn't know pshat. He can't figure it out. And there's people to ask. He doesn't ask the shailas. He's too embarrassed, whatever. He's too lazy, whatever the reason why is. That person has that's a problem. Okay, that person Hashem is not machshav. Okay, that's chazal mean. V'amor is chassid. Amor is can't be chassid. If you're amor is don't have the truism, and you could have asked and didn't ask, then you have a problem. You can't be chassid. However, avol, listen to this. Sir. This is mind boggling. Avol kishra hoyero eitzel milisho. If he couldn't ask, there was no one to ask. The gamoy ibechol to lahasig bas. He couldn't figure out himself either. I worked hard. I tried to figure out pshat and toast. I couldn't figure it out, and there was no one to ask. And I'm stuck. I don't know what's going on. I can't figure out pshat and toast. I can't figure out the gemara. Not in my shor. Not sforno. Whatever it is. Bechol mashohayu bekoch ramo yogav amo. Whatever he could do, he worked. He tried hard. He worked hard to do to accomplish. You know, whatever. Call up shor as much as he could. Listen to this. Listen to this line. Huroi l'ruach hakodesh umaylon neflo le'in erech. He is roi to get Ruach HaKodesh and to be on the highest and unbelievable Maira, without any end in sight. Mamish kemo ha'adam ha'gadol b'Torah. Like Moshe Feinstein, the guy has a gadol b'Torah, right? If he did the best he could, he tried as hard as he could. There was no one to ask, or no one asked the question, whatever the reason why. He ended up, he's an Amoris, total board the rice, doesn't know anything. Maybe he lives in some place, in some godforsaken place, no one around, whatever the reason is, right? He doesn't know, or different levels, right? He doesn't know pshat in the chazal. He's not a bucky. He doesn't have any bikiyas. Whatever it is, he can't figure out pshat in Ian. Whatever it is, he's just as good. Mamish mo adam hagadol b'Torah. Okay, that's. I say I don't. I'm not sure if it's the biggest chiddush, but it's such an important yisod rabosai. The soul being that I don't care who I am. I don't care who I am compared to pikes. I don't care. He's smarter. He's dumber. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care compared to anybody in this room, right? It doesn't make any difference, right? I don't care. There's no reason in the world why I should get the guy next to me and figure out, well, you know, he's better than me. Who cares? I can be irrelevant of what he is, irrelevant of what my brain power is. I can be as chashuv as Rav Moshe Feinstein. I might not be able to get as much Torah as he is, as he has. He has more brains. He has more access to Gedolim, whatever the story was, right? But I can be as chashuv, like he says, he's roi for Ruach HaKodesh. U'mala nifla le'erach. He says, then he goes and says, Gabi the Mishnah, Gabi Tos, he says, you know, but there's a different factor. Well, Gabi Chashivas of the Welt, right? And it's granted that the fact he's smarter means nothing. You have to just judge how hard he worked. But Gabi being Poda, that's a different Cheshiv. Because that's totally how Chashiv, how beneficial he is to the world at large. So the Welt needs Gedolim, they need Poskim. This guy has a good excuse, he's like Kohen Gadol, but he can't pass in the Shilas. So Gabi that's why Tos in the Gemara says, that you mechuyit pardon for more. That's the difference. That's not our dekuda. But if a guy did whatever he could, he worked as hard as he could to both say, it doesn't make any difference. Shavim mamish shnei bnei adam shamuch. That's what he says. I'm bringing you a leviter. Ach zed dafku inyan chashivas adam mitzaasmo. Gabi himself. Shavim knows what's his chashivas. Shavim mamish exactly shnei bnei adam shamuch shneihem b'torah. They both worked hard in Torah. B'shava. One guy accomplished a lot, one guy was not masik anything at all. Gabi Develt, he says, it goes on and says that's different. But Gabi is chashivas, how chashiv am I? Now, we're not talking about what kind of job you can get, that's a different story. That's Bashir, that's been talking, that's different stories. But in terms of who am I? How chashiv am I, Rosa? He says clearly, it doesn't make any difference. So there should be no reason, it's almost, we'll qualify in a minute, hold on, but it's almost like treif, it's almost no good. Don't look at the guy next to you. Don't, because it's hurtful. And in fact, Nachal of Rabosai, the Mesillas Hasharim. Check it out, Rabosai. Check it out. The last paragraph in the whole Mesillas Hasharim, Mamish at the end, he says even more than this. Listen to what he says. So this has got to be two people learning Torah, two people working hard and learning, and one guy accomplished a lot, one guy accomplished a small amount. They're both exactly the same. Nachal de here says the Marsh, says the Mesillas Hasharim. I'll just read the last piece of it. You'll read more if you want to yourselves. Chvar Yochelios Chassid Gomer. A guy can be the 100% chassid, right? You know, chassid means not our chassidim, but the real chassidim, right? Ish shevnei tzarcho, a person that because of his individual needs, He has some kind of low menial job. He's a sanitation man, okay? Whatever he is. I don't know what he is, right? He has a very simple, low pechusa job. That person could be as big of a chassid, kamo misha asher, kamo mi, asher lo yifsok mipiv harimud. A guy doesn't stop learning. There's two guys. One guy is a gadol hador. He's learning 24/7. He's doing whatever he can. He's mamish, being successful, learning and teaching, do everything he can do. The other guy, like I say, I may put it off a bad example. He's a sanitation cleaner. That's what he is. He works for the garbage department. He collects garbage every Tuesday or Thursday on one side of the street, whatever it is, right? That's what he does. They're both just as chashuv. As Baruch Hu says, Hashem does not look at the amount of Torah he has. Hashem looks at what he accomplished. How hard did he work? And if this guy, because for some reason, he can't teach Torah, he can't learn Torah, he can't even learn Torah. Forget about teaching, he can't even learn Torah. He's just as chashuv. They're both sides. So please, think about it. This is what gets people depressed. This is what people gets unmotivated. Rebbe, I don't know, I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it out. What he really means inside is that, the guy next to him is doing better, and I'm not the best guy in the shiur. I'm not even close to the middle of the shiur. Whatever it is, he gets frustrated, he gets upset, he gets, even if not depressed, he gets down, he's not inspired. Rabotai, that's the killer. That's the killer. Now, I must admit, Rabotai, that's what I mentioned before, you have to qualify what I'm saying. There's the famous Rav Shiva Shmuz, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Amad Heyam Beis, right? The Gemara over there says, and I copied over here also, the Gemara brings the famous Gemara in Yuma, says, Aniv Asher V'Rasha Bongadin. So there's a whole speech given to each one. The Gemara basically, in a nutshell, it says, Hillel Mechai V'Soaniyim. The Gemara brings a famous story. That's the Gemara which brings the story about Hillel, on top of the roof, whatever. His Ani couldn't get in. He mamish with most of Nefesh, So he was Machai V'Soaniyim, right? So the Mishnah says that when it comes to either a Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or maybe Eshrim, in Bezen Shalmah, whatever it might be, right? Hill Machai V'Soaniyim, Hashem says, listen, you could have learned, don't tell me you have no money, you can't learn, you have to work all day. Are you different than Hillel? Hillel could do, you can also do, So the Shiva's kasha on that was, well, what's going on? What are you talking about? Hashem needs Hillel to figure out how much the guy could do. Hashem has that seismograph. He has that, machine which figures out what each person's potential is, right? Everyone, right? All of us here, right? Hashem figures out, exactly what he could have done. Hashem sees, did he do it? So what's Hillel? Well, Hillel, I gave X amount of kocho, so this guy has a quarter of it or twice as much, so he can do much more or less. Hashem doesn't need Hillel to figure it out. Hashem gave it to Hillel also. So how's Hillel fit? What does Hillel do anything? So Pshat is Rabbeinu, right? You might say it's a steer to what I said before, right? But pshat is that the existence of Hillel, right? When you hear this famous, when you were a kid, you heard the story about Hillel, right? Sleeping up there with the snow and all that, right? So when you heard that story, and still when you hear it now also, I hope, right? Not just when you were a kid, you're a little kid, you're inspired. Hey, Hillel, well, what could that guy did? I heard this crazy story. My Rebbe, my Mora told me a story in class today about Hillel. And what he did to learn? He had no money. It's crazy. How can he do such that? It must be so special learning Torah that he can do it. When you hear a story like that, right? I mean, Rebbe, this is, I always hear complaints. People complain about Rebbe, They have all these biographies come out about Chavis Chaim, about Rebbe Chanan, about Rebbe Aaron Kotler, and it's ridiculous. I have no shaykhus. These guys, what are they putting it out for? These guys were brilliant when they were kids. They were tzaddikim. When they were 3 years old, they finished shas already, and they never either drop a bracha without kavanah. Come on, listen with me. Right? This mishnah says, not so, right? There's a benefit to hearing, seeing, whatever it might be. When you see what a gadol does, when you hear a story about a gadol, a gavur rabba, how much he's doing, whether it's his mother, whether it's sitkis, whether it's mesiras nefesh for Torah, right? It makes a difference, right? A person could be inspired by it, right? This plot over here is that it changes my potential. So Hashem can't just say, well, I'll check you out. He could do that, but your potential, which Hashem will see, obviously, is telling what on Hillel. The potential changed because of Hillel. Hashem gave a person certain potential, but with Hillel, without Hillel, makes a big difference. So now that Hillel came around the world and all these stories flying around town about Hillel, it makes a difference. Hashem could mun from you more, right? Reuven has no money. Hashem says, yeah, but come on. Didn't you hear the story about Hillel? I know you heard the story. And if you heard the story, your potential is X amount greater, right? So hearing stories about Gedolim, so even though some people will say, I get all depressed, I'm not like the Gedolim, I can't do it. You're right. That there's a potential for that. You have to be careful. But on the other hand, a person's supposed to look at the guy next door, and if he's doing, whoa, This guy learns. Okay, I'm not trying to give mussar or talk about this business, but I guess it's just no geas, right? Let's talk tachas, right? This guy learns. You know, he has a seder. You know, this guy goes to Mishnah Berurah seder twice a week. Whoa, I never heard of such a thing in my life, right? I'm sorry, I can't control myself, right? But this guy takes only one coffee break. And this guy learns 10 minutes before Mincha. This guy learns a little bit after night. And this guy learns during Seder. Whatever it might be, or both sides. A person has to use these role models to be inspired. Now, what Rebbe, you told us a couple minutes ago, you can't look at anybody else. You're right. You have to be careful. There's a very Geshet Tzar mode. On one hand, you have to go ahead and not judge yourself by someone else, okay? And the fact that he's something and he's this, he's that, it means makes no difference to me. It doesn't affect me. Key who's that? It's not going to make a difference in my life. It won't make a difference to God be the star. It won't make a difference to God be how chashvei Makosh broke his eyes. On the other hand, but when I see there's someone like that, I have to use to inspire myself, right? Hill is machayves on him, right? Hill, you were supposed to hear, you heard a Hill story, and you're not supposed to just ignore it. You're supposed to take it to heart, right? It's supposed to inspire you, right? But it's supposed to inspire, right? That's the line. That's the key word. It's supposed to inspire you, and you realize that, you know, not because if he can do it, I definitely can do it. No. And not because if he can do it, I should be like that also. I'm not. He's better than me. No. He's not better than me. He's not. But maybe he's such a big master, I can't do it. Yeah, okay, but you're doing what you can do. Right? You're working hard, you're doing what you can do. But I couldn't figure out, I'm toast, he's three toasts ahead of me, and he covered the quota of 1.5 blocks, and I'm three quarters of a block. Whatever. Okay, fine. It doesn't make any difference. Your chashivas is not telling him. But the inspiration you get from him by seeing, hey, you know, people can do that, and it's such a concept, and it's so chashiv, and it's so valuable, and I want to do like he's doing. Not because Hashem will judge me based on what he is, per se, but because I see a person can do more. I see it's such a concept. People are machshav it, you know. Hey, it's a good, like Ramash, I'll give you an example. You always talk about, someone reminded me today, someone, I forget who it was already, someone told me today, and we all agree. He says the most, I always tell people all the time, that it's so hard, and it's so crucial, not that it's makiv, but it makes such a big difference. I could not imagine, okay, running, having a high school without a base medish on top of it. Right? They're role models, right? I don't mean just the tipple. If we have the tipple that some guys do tremendous amount of, right? I'm talking about, but just the fact that people see, you know, the kids, a 17-year-old or 15-year-old kid who comes from a home which is very lukewarm, pirate about Yiddish guy, no shackles to cold, to learning, you know, and he sees, hey, look at that. That guy's a guy. He's about 3 years older than me, and the guy learns all day. He's not even going to college. Can you believe that? You know, consciously, subconsciously, makes a difference. Sinks in, right? So a person can go ahead and it's supposed to, you know, so the impact that you guys have on the high school boys is tremendous, even without doing your thing. Just being there, sitting and watching and being there and being on show, so to speak, makes a tremendous impact on the guys that are there. So on one hand or both sides, you have to be careful not to, if you feel a little depressed, if you feel a little down because of the guy next to you, that's treif, that's called the Yetzer Hara, right? If you have to check yourself, you know, how am I utilized, how am I being affected by the guy next to me. If I'm looking at him and I see, boy, he's learning so much, and I feel, I'm not doing that, yeah? That's a problem. That's a bad sign. That's a warning sign. That's a red light, a red flashing light, a yellow flash, caution signal. Watch out. Don't let it get to you, you know? You can't, because I know that doesn't make a difference at all. I can be the guy with Ruach HaKodesh. I don't care how great he is. I can be just as great, if not better, if I put my kochos into it. On the other hand, you have to use that to inspire you, okay? Again, Rabbo said the main thing is, so the Iker thing is, Amelus B'Torah. That's the point. Amelus has Amel B'Torah. The guy works hard. That's all Hashem looks for. Right? Results? It's nothing new with you. That's all Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's all Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ziyat the Shemaya, the Mazel, the Schus, and whatever. It's telling different things. It's not. That's not what you're tested by. Your job is to do. Like Chazal Rishi was to ton, Nishtoftan. Your job is to do, not to accomplish. Not just accomplishment in Habas Torah, not just accomplishment in Chesed, accomplishment that yourself I'm talking about. How great you become is not totally on the final result, it's totally on the both sides, how hard you work and how much you're Amel. And like he said, how much did you ask the Shilas if there's someone to ask? If you just sat there and tried it and you couldn't Masriach, but you didn't ask anybody because you were too big of a Baishon, that could be a problem sometime. That could be a Baishon Hashem doesn't expect. That's I don't know, I can't tell you about that. Both of that's the key. The key is to be Amel, and this requires Musar Bespilov, to knock it into your head. Rabos, I guarantee you, you'll never finish knocking it into your head. This will be a problem until you're 120 years old, okay? Hopefully it'll be a tiny problem, not a big problem, not a depressing problem, not a depressing problem, okay? Hopefully, but it's a challenge. No matter how old you are, it's all telling you on clear vision and how much you internalize, how much you emotionally internalize, right? Through Mr. Spilus and constant review and Chazar and Chazara. I don't care. It doesn't make a difference to me about him or about him or about him. They're all geniuses. I still could bet. I have to work hard. That's what I have to do. Rashiv used to tell about himself. I heard when he was here in Miami one time, you know, about 8, 9, 10 years ago, something like that. He told us, I think it was at an Onik Shabbos in someone's house in Miami Beach, I think that's where it was. Rashiv told us he was always so busy. He was so busy with the running the yeshiva, you know, whether talking to boys or the office. I don't know exactly, you know, all the different myriad problems that comes with running yeshiva. Many times, he couldn't sit down till 11, 12 o'clock at night to repair shir. He couldn't do it. He had no time. No time. But I tell you what he said. This, like, hit me. Like, he says, but you know what you do? At 11 o'clock, he's about to collapse. He's exhausted. Okay? He says, okay, we have to do it. We have to work on shir. Okay, he had a hechruch. Okay, we don't all have the same hechruch, right? You know, maybe there's no hechruch to finish the quota. We don't feel the hechruch, mind. But he had hechruch. He had to finish the same plan this year. Same plan this sugya tomorrow. Say he pushed himself. And the Russian, he was like, I broke through. You know, and it was like, you push, then you feel, okay, I'm going through. I used to get into it. I broke through. And as far as he pushed hard to work, to wake himself up, to push, and yes, Yetziat HaShemayah. That's what we call Amelus B'Torah. It's not wizardry, it's not magic, it's not this, it's Amelus B'Torah. You have the Haravani, you have the drive to push, to accomplish, because you know, that's all that counts. I don't care how smart I am. I don't care how dumb I am. I don't care how much bekias I have. And God be this. I have to work hard. That's what Shiva said. So he worked hard, and Baruch Hashem, I guess, if you see the results. Rabbi Palgun told over Sir B'Shem Rabbi Hochberg. Okay, Rabbi Hochberg said the following. Very interesting. I never heard the story before, but he told us the story. Also, there was a Rabbosa, we're talking about Amelus, and this is more Mesiris Nefesh. You know, similar ideas, but it's all... what counts as Mesiris Nefesh and what brings out Slachas. Two things. What counts as Mesiris Nefesh, that in terms of Schusim, and what brings the Hatzlachas, Mesiris Nefesh. Okay? That's the Schusim you get from Emoser Nefesh. Whether it's Schusim of getting Pshat in the Shir, okay? Listen, we had a great Pshat in the Shir today, right? I'm sorry, guys, but we had a great Pshat. We answered a very Shver Pshat in the Gemara, whatever, and it was a toast which didn't make a word of sense. But a little Amelus. There wasn't so much Amelus, I must admit to you. But, you know, you work and you see Hashem gives the Hatzlacha. That's how it comes. It doesn't come from brains. It doesn't come from this, from that. It comes from Amelus. That's all it is. Rabbi Hochberg told over the following story. I said, this is a nice little beautiful story. And all I'm trying to illustrate is Mesiris Nefesh. You know, you work hard and you're Moser Nefesh and you work for Torah. You work for, you'll see this, a little different story, but same idea. A lady came to the Marsha. Old time story. Lady came to the Marsha. She was childless for many years. She had no children. And she said, Marsha, give me a brach. I should have a ben zachar. Daven for me, whatever. So I don't know. So he says, fine, no problem. No, Rebbe, that's not enough. I want to have a ben zachar, be a Talmud Chacham. Okay, he thinks, whatever. Okay, gives her a bracha. No, Rebbe, it's not enough. I want to have a son who'll be one of the Gedolei Ador. So now she's really getting, you know, pushy, right? She's getting demanding. So again, the way the story goes, that you know, he gets up, pacing back and forth. He says, "Okay, you have a son who's a gadol." He says, "No, Rebbe, I'm not finished yet. I want a son who'll be just as good as great as you. No matter what, just as good as you." Here, so he says, "No." So again, he cares, but goes back and forth. He says, "Okay, let me ask you a question." He says, "Are you prepared to be Moser Nefesh for this child? They should be like me." Yes, of course. I'll do anything to have a child like you. He says, "I don't mean just, you know, to work. I mean Mesiris Nefesh, literally. If it means Mesiris Nefesh, mamish, the real thing, Mesiris Nefesh. Are you prepared?" "Yes." He says, "And what about your husband?" Does he have the same level of, you know, commitment, you know? I think so, yeah. Well, go ask him. Well, he's on a trip now. Says, go travel to him, go find out, go to him, go talk to him and find out, and come back to me. Tell me, are you both wanting most of that fish for this child to be like me, the Marsha? She goes away, she comes back, whatever, a couple weeks later, I don't know exactly how long it took, where it was. Both my husband and we're both 100% wanting most nefesh for a son like you. You hear this? Now, this is not halacha ma'aser both, okay? So just, but it shows the concept, okay? Okay, have a bracha. Hashem should give you a son to be just like me. Okay, she gets pregnant. She gives birth to a child. She passed away in childbirth, and a half a year later, her husband passed away. Okay, the son was eventually, not a bit, whatever, was adopted by the Marsha. And he became, as you all know, the Madur Basra, his son-in-law, Marsha's son-in-law. Okay, so I guess that's the key of the brach, I guess. But that required, now, I will say it's not halacha ma'aser, okay? I'm not suggesting anybody, but it's Rabbi Harkman said over the story. but Rabbi said, that's, I'm just showing you. That, to me, is a Hil Mechayves Anim story, okay? Not that I'm going to do it tomorrow, right? But, wow. If these people can be so mosanefesh, because there's so much machshev, their machshev, what it means to go ahead and give of themselves to have a ben who's a talmud chacham, it wasn't the ego thing, I guarantee it wasn't the ego, it wasn't because I want to be the one, I have the best kid in the block, no. It was because their machshev, they recognize, we're here for Torah, we're here to be marbers, we're here to produce b'nei b'nos Torah, children, whatever, grandchildren, families, communities, whatever it might be. That's our purpose. There's nothing else that counts. I don't care about the money. I don't care about the chandeliers or about the Rolls Royces or about whatever it might be. Right? I care about, I want to become an Eved Hashem. I want to do what Hashem wants me to do. And Hashem wants me to be here, to live, to Mekai Hashem Shemayim, all the above, to bring your children to the world. That's what she, now, is the proper thing in that. Rebels, don't ask me about the story exactly. That's not the point, okay? That's what the point is, but that's what Amelus does. To me, I'm super inspired. Like I said, not to do what she did. I can't say I can do that. If someone asked me, I can't say yes. Yeah, I probably wouldn't say yes. I don't know. But the point is, if she can do this, I can do this. A little bit. A drop I can do. Because that's, you know, you're inspired by such a story. And that's what Amelos does. Amelos has such a powerful schutz. It wasn't shot, the Marsha was a Rebbe, and he gave brachas and this and that. No, the Marsha said, you do this, okay, it makes sense, you'll be zocha to this. If you're such Mesiris Nefesh, that's the results of Mesiris Nefesh. Rav Shach says, one or two more. Rav Shach says, we'll have to go drop overtime. Is it okay? We'll have to go drop overtime, right? Rav Shach was learning yeshiva back in Europe when he was a young bacher, 10, 12 years old, whatever it was. And he was not at home. He was away. He was in some, you know, Miami yeshiva someplace, you know, out of, you know, not near the house, right? And he and his father passed away a while back, a half a year before, whatever. He only had a mother. He had a mother and a sister, okay? And they lived who knows far away. So he barely saw them. And his sister he barely knew because she was a couple years younger. He barely knew her. Okay, he was way learning. Maybe he was 15. I don't know how old he was exactly. I don't think it says. I don't know. So they sent letters back and forth. They made up. And they lived in different countries. And they were separated. I guess maybe it was during World War I, I think it was. I think so. I'm not sure. And they were separated. Different countries. They couldn't see each other. They made up one time to visit, to meet at the border. They couldn't cross, but they would say, oh, they can talk, whatever, the fence, fine. So the mother, the sister, they both go. They go to the border, the point of time, pre-appointed time, 12 o'clock on Monday afternoon, the 10th of whatever year. And they're there. They're waiting. Ain't no Rav Shach, he doesn't come, doesn't show up. They wait a couple hours, I guess, they show up, they go home. They get a letter or a message somehow, they get a message later on from their son, her son, her brother. Mommy, let me tell you what happened, okay? We made up to meet, okay? But then I realized that if I go to meet you and my sister, to meet you both, with the fence over there, when I come back, I would feel so homesick. And it would affect my learning in a considerable way, whatever that means, okay? It's a shock. It's not a, you know, I'm sure he went to battle all day, but, you know, it would affect his learning to a certain degree. He says, I felt if I would do that, I would, my learning would suffer. And I knew that you would not want me to go to see you if it means my learning should suffer. I knew who you are, Mommy. My sister, I don't know about the sister. I'm not sure where she fits it exactly, right? That's all part of the story, right? And I knew that you would want me to do this. So that's, I decided not to go. I didn't go because because I wanted to make sure my learning is unaffected. I know you would be happy with this, therefore I decided to stay home. I hope you're happy with this. Obviously, I was very happy. Some became the Gadol Hador, you know, the rest is history. But that, Rabbo said, all that, that's Mesiras Nefesh, right? That's the mother's Mesiras Nefesh for her son. That's the son's Mesiras Nefesh not to see the mother, because he knew that if he goes to the auction and he spends 2 hours there, it'll affect his learning. So he said, I'm not going to go. I'm Moser Nefesh not to go, right? Smart man, doesn't go. Right? He's not going to go see his mother because it'll hurt his learning. Now, obviously, the mother cares, so you have to go ahead and... You know, I'm not criticizing those who went. That's not my point. I'm saying, but if someone didn't go because he had a chesh, that probably as who went, you know, they go in and out. You know, so it doesn't affect. But okay, right. One more thing on both sides. I'll tell you a cute little story in my own family. My father should be well. I think it was 1948. 1948, he was in the yeshiva, like, I think 2-3 years at that time. And he was a young boy in the yeshiva. And I think about 20 years old. And he had a younger brother, his name was Benny, younger brother who was in the army, who was drafted in the U.S. Army at that time. And my grandmother, Lel Shalom, right, she was very concerned about his being in draft, I guess right before the Korean War. I don't know exactly, you know, the exact time, but she was, you know, petrified of if he goes to, if he's in the army, which he was. I think it was, so he was assigned to an army base near Waterbury, Connecticut. That's where the army base was. That's where my Uncle Benny was, okay? So my mother and my grandmother and my father at that time went to Waterbury to try to speak, to spend the weekend, spend a couple of days, try to speak to the authorities, get the pool, whatever, politicians, whatever. I don't know exactly who they went to see, to try to get him released. So they went for that purpose there. When they were there, they stayed by Rabbi Zalki Gwertz. You heard of him, right? Rabbi Zalki Gwertz, he was a big Talmud Chacham, or Dov is a Talmud, or she was a friend, very close Talmud and friend, and he was the Rav in Waterbury right after Ramatul Gifter Zasal was the Rav in Waterbury. And he was the Rav at that time. They stayed by his house. Okay, so they talked to the government, whatever, the army people, find that's not relevant to the story. When they were there for that weekend, so my grandmother, you know, my grandmother was a very special lady, but, you know, she wasn't a Kollel wife. She was a regular, you know, a European lady who came to America, and my grandparents were very successful in business. They had a big Schlachthaus, they called it, a big slaughterhouse, right, where they shefted, you know, cows. I remember one time there when I was a kid, it was burnt down by arson. That's the difference, right? It's not for now. But they had a big, you know, successful business. And Lamaisa, my father was the only one in the family who was Roy, for various reasons, to take over the business. Okay? So my grandmother wanted my father to take over the business. Okay? So she went to Rabbi Gwertz, who they were staying by. She says, Rabbi Gwertz, I know you're involved in yeshiva. You're very influential, an elderly, respectful rabbi. Please convince my son over here not to stay in the yeshiva, okay? Because I want to go into the business, take over the business eventually. Stay another year, but she was afraid he'd get stuck in the yeshiva, okay? So she said, Rabbi Gwertz, please talk to this guy, knock some sense into his head, you know, my son, you know? So Rabbi Gwertz said, you're talking to the wrong person. Sorry, it's not going to happen for me. You got the wrong person. I'm not going to tell your son not to stay in the yeshiva. I didn't stay in the yeshiva. 9 or 10 years later, and he stayed in the yeshiva. Right? 9 or 10 years later, my father got smicha. They had a chag of smicha, and Rabbi Gwertz was the guest speaker at the yeshiva's, you know, dinner/chag of smicha. After my grandmother was there, they came from Rockford to the chag of smicha. After he finished speaking, my grandmother walks up to the dais, okay, with Rabbi Gwertz sitting there, and she says to him, "Bezalah," she says, Rabbi Gwertz, I want to thank you profusely for saying no to me 10 years ago, okay? Because she was very proud and happy that, you know, that he said the yeshiva. She saw that, you know, all the other kids, whatever, you know, I'm not going to go into what they're doing and all that. But the other kids, you know, and my son, you know, he called him Sammy, my son Samula, you know, Chaim Shmuel. So that my son became something. He worked hard, was Amel. I don't know if she didn't use the word Amelus, okay? But it came from Amelus, you know? And he got stuck in the yeshiva. And now she was happy. By that time, she was happy he was stuck in the yeshiva. And Baruch Hashem, he's still stuck. You know, he's still stuck for many years. But that's what Amelus does, Rabosa. Amelus is what does it. That's all Hashem cares for. You can be Zocha, to be on the level of Ruach Kodesh, like the Devin Yisrael says, if you're an Amel B'Torah, if you just work hard, if you ask all the shalos you could, ask the people around you, do the best you can. I don't care about the guy next to me. It's not worth anything to me. It means nothing. It's not going to hurt me. It's not going to help me. Nothing. I can use them to be inspired, that's true. but the way Hashem judges me, what I'll become is not telling on him. It's not going to make a difference. I have to just focus on who I am, what I'm accomplishing, what I can do, and how I can work harder. The key are both sides, so please are both sides. The key is Amelos B'Torah. Try it. Now, it doesn't mean you have to become the biggest masvid. I'm not saying that. But whatever you are, you work a little harder. You use the guy next to you to inspire you, and if he gets a little depressed, forget about that. That's Yetzer Hara. It's a bad sign. It's a flashing red light. But that's how you become Matzriach. That I guarantee you, there's no question in my mind. If you work hard, you Amel B'Torah, and it doesn't mean you ever have a downtime. You have some downtime sometimes. You feel, oh, I can't do it anymore. It's too hard. Okay, but that's part of the ride. That you have to stick on for the ride the whole time. And you come out of it, a couple of days later, you're into it more, you're back into it again, and Baruch Hashem, you have Siyat Hashmaya. Siyat Hashmaya, Schusim, all of it comes from Amelos B'Torah.